All right, guys, welcome again to Bethel Community Church. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, we heard the second row. How's everybody else in the church doing today? It's good to see you guys. My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church, and I'm excited about speaking this morning to Bethel. You know, over the month of July, some of you guys may or may not have known, I was gone most of the month of July going to the nation of Bolivia and the nation of Haiti, fighting off the Zika virus and riots and voodoo priests. And so praise God for air conditioning and being back in the good USA. You know, if you guys were with us last week, we started a series called Civil War, and we're going to continue that series today. We're also going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service to sign up for our community groups. We have a saying here at Bethel that your journey at Bethel begins at starting point, and your journey continues in community. So you're going to have an opportunity to join different community groups here at Bethel Community Church today. Also, thank you again if you're a guest with us. We are so thankful that you're here. Over the last 4 weeks here at Bethel, we've seen 93 first-time guests come through the doors at Bethel Community Church. So, church, let's again welcome our guests. Thank you guys again for being here. And so I want to be talking today about the battlefield of the mind, about how there's really a civil war that goes on within our minds. And a lot of people would say amen to that, that there are some things that go on in my mind. If they were on the screen behind me, I would be arrested quick. You know, a civil war is a very powerful word to use for this series because of history, and we study civil war in American history. We kind of trivialize how impactful and how traumatic a civil war can actually be to a nation. It's really a failure to deal with conflicting ideas and issues within a country, and they continue to grow until they develop into a full-scale war. It creates a drastic division within a nation, and also some of us may agree with this, but within ourselves. We're going to talk about that today. You know, one of the ways that God breaks things down for me very simply is through movies. He will give me movies I watch and begin to explain really complicated things through movies. And Pastor Lance, one of my favorite genres of movies, you know, the genre, you like that word? My daddy would say that's a college word. A genre or type of movie that I really came to love as a young man and still love to this day are Westerns. I love a good Western. And when I was planning for this message, the first movie that popped in my mind was The Outlaw Josie Wales. Come on, somebody give some Clint Eastwood some love. See, in The Outlaw Josie Wales, it takes place at the tail end or at the end of the Civil War. And there's this guy named Josie Wales. He was a former Confederate soldier who's being hunted down by the Union Army. He represents a remnant of enemy forces. And he runs all over the country killing enemies or killing Union soldiers and causing chaos everywhere that he goes. Now, as I started to think about it, it's not too much different when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. Now, when I gave my life to Christ, just to explain a little bit to you guys, if you don't know me that much, my life was a lot like a Justin Timberlake song, Pastor Lance. I couldn't drink my problems away. I couldn't sex my problems away. I couldn't party my loneliness away. I couldn't smoke my problems away. But when I met Jesus Christ and I realized that he loved me and that he gave his entire life for me and died on the cross so that I could be saved and set free and forgiven, I gave my everything to him. And everything that the world could not feel that I needed, I was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I received the peace and the joy that I was looking for that I could not find anywhere else. But the problem with that was, now that I had this new power, I had this new heart after God, I had the Spirit of God living inside of me, I still had to contend with my old mindset, my old ways of thinking, my old will, my old emotions, and all the memories that I had collected through all the decades. It caused some problems in my life. And really, a lot of people may not be aware of that, but some people think that when you give your life to Christ, it's just easy sailing. When you give your life to Christ, it's just money bags raining from the sky. You get promoted on your job like that. You know, you find the most beautiful woman in the world. You never have problems with her. Your kids go to bed at 7 o'clock every night and they don't wake up. That is a lie from the pit of hell, is it? That was a lie in my house last night. Oh, my kids got up. Anyway, and we think sometimes that all the stinking thinking that comes into our mind is just a thing of the past, and that's just not true. A matter of fact, if I can be really candid with you, a few months, 5, 6, 8 months after I gave my life to Christ, I had some crazy thoughts that came into my mind. Now, if you didn't know me back then, when I first gave my life to Christ, I was so excited. Man, I was on the front row of church every Sunday, jumping up in the air so high, I almost thought I'd break my ankles. I was excited, worshiping God, listening to sermons all the time. I was just on fire for the things of God. But it only took about 6, 8 months into my relationship with Jesus Christ, I started to have some crazy thinking. Now, I thought a lot of crazy thoughts before Jesus. But after Jesus, I think I've probably had just as much, if not more, crazy thoughts. And here was one of my crazy thoughts that I had. I had thought to myself, I was like, self, you've been doing so good with this Jesus thing. You know, you and Jesus are so tight. You love going to church. You like reading your Bible. You deserve a pass. You deserve a 48-hour sin pass. You just deserve it because you've been so good. And I started to try to convince myself of all the things that I would do, Pastor Lance. If I could have a 48-hour sin pass, oh, I would slap that person. I'd cuss him out. All the stuff I would do. But you know what? I started to think how much that would destroy my relationship with Christ. And I started to think, you know what, there is no sin in the world that is worth giving up my relationship with Jesus. But there was this battle in my mind where I started to contemplate, should I do this? And all of us have been in that place in our life where we start to wage war against the thoughts that we have. And some people in here, you are born again believers of Jesus Christ, and some of you have not come to that decision where Jesus is your Lord. But we all have this battle that goes on in our brains. Should we do this? Should we do that? And I'm so thankful that the Bible lets us know that we're not crazy when we have these thoughts. You know, the Apostle Paul, if you've got a Bible, go ahead and open it up to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, there's this guy named the Apostle Paul. He writes this, I really believe, under the authority of the Holy Spirit, because the things that he says, it's going to sound extremely confusing and extremely convoluted. But that's because this civil war in our brain, it really is convoluted and confusing. When we read this passage of Scripture, you're going to think that there are two people fighting for control of the same body. This is really the epitome of this civil war that I'm going to be talking about today. This is in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 through 24. Now, the Apostle Paul starts off like this. He says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I do not do, or will not to do, I agree that the law, that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Can you see how this war is beginning to wage inside of the Apostle Paul? He wants to do the right thing, but yet he finds himself doing the wrong thing. Verse 19 says, for the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the will that I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But here it is. But I see another law in my members, that's in my body, in my mind, in my thoughts, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. How many of you ever been there before? Well, you know the right thing to do and you still don't do it. You just make decisions that are bad and you look back and you say, why did I do that? Why did I open up my mouth? Why did I say this? Why did I do that? And the Apostle Paul says in verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? See, this passage is really talking to two different people. The first person or the first group of people that it's talking to is the person who doesn't fully follow Jesus Christ, but are aware of his ways. They have set up a standard of morality, and many of you will understand this. All of us have formed some set of rules for morality. They may not be as high as God's, but we have set a standard for morality that we believe certain things are just wrong all the time. Getting cut off the road on Tawny Town, that is wrong every day of the week. And we have set these standards. Now, the thing about a person who has not given their life to Jesus Christ and made Jesus the Lord of their life, you have this standard that you've created. I had that standard that I created, but I have always fallen short of that standard. That's an amazing thought. Not anybody else, but we have set the standard in our own life on what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong. And even though we set it, we still can't match up to it. We still can't be there. And that's because of this. You have been convinced by the law, but you have not been changed by the gospel. See, when a person gives their life to Christ, there is something new, something powerful that takes place. You have actually been set free. The second group of people that the Apostle Paul talks to are people that struggle with inside of themselves, even though they have a renewed heart and they have been justified. Pastor Lance talked about this word last week called justified. You have been set free from the penalty of sin. In the eyes of God, you have been made just as if you have never sinned, but you are not 100% sanctified. Yet, the word sanctified simply means this process that God puts us in that starts when we give our life to Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It means now the standard's much higher. We have been living under the standard of God, and when we're sanctified, it means that the Holy Spirit is working out things in our life that don't honor God. And during our last service, I had this kind of thought. For me, I used to work inside of the prison system before I came to working for the church. And there were people that were in prison for a lot of years that I worked with, decades inside the prisons all over Tennessee. And I noticed something really strange when they got out of prison. They were freed from prison, but many of them still acted as if they were in prison. These two groups of people that are talked about in Romans chapter 7 are really the person who is in prison that doesn't have the power to free themselves. See, when we are outside of the kingdom of God and we haven't given our life to Jesus, it's like we're in prison, but we cannot free ourselves because we don't have the power to free ourselves. But in Christ, we have been set free. And we can walk out of the prison. We can walk out of the addiction. We can walk out of the pain and the cycles that we have lived in. But for some of us, we have lived that way for so long, we don't know another way to live. And so many of us, even though we've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ, we still act as if we're still in prison. Somebody say amen. But God wants to help us with that today. I believe he really does. You know, these crazy thoughts that I've been talking to, they need to be brought into captivity, or they need to be put in prison as we stay free. Did you know that the average person, according to the Laboratory of Neuroimaging, Pastor Lance, at USC, you knew this though, didn't you? The average person has between 50,000 and 70,000 thoughts per day. Now, that's a lot of thoughts. You know, some of those thoughts are boring old average thoughts like, time to go to the bathroom, time to wake up, don't hit that rock, you'll fall. You know, we think mindless thoughts all the time, but then there's these big thoughts. This week, as I was preparing for this message, I started to think there are some really destructive, nasty, evil thoughts that all of us have. I call these Hulk thoughts. A Hulk thought, you know the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk. The Hulk thought are thoughts that are highly destructive. They cause pain and regret and shame in someone's life. These are the kind of thoughts I referenced to earlier. If our thoughts, well, let's not use you. Let's use me, for example. If my thoughts were on this screen over the course of a day, you would lock me up immediately. And if we put anyone else's thoughts up on the screen, we would realize we have some thoughts that are so damaging that potentially could cause to other people. I mean, there are sometimes I just want to strangle people. And sometimes in the course of a day, things happen that are so moving in our life that the Hulk wants to come out. And it's only by the grace of God that the Hulk is not released. Now, if you think about it over the course of your life, you let the Hulk out a few times. And the Hulk began to cause danger and chaos in people's lives. But here's the thing. When that happens, it can trigger us into a life of anger. It can trigger lust in our life, addictions, bitterness, jealousy, rage, and it only takes one. Everybody hold up one finger. It only takes, and everyone 100% of the time would agree with this, it only takes one stray Hulk thought to destroy your career, your job, your marriage. Think about a stray Hulk thought in your marriage. Girl, you look fat today. Oh, snap. You just unloaded a whole room of Hulk. Think about one stray Hulk thought with your kids, how you can wound them and cripple them. Think about how one stray thought leads to another and another, and eventually it could shipwreck your faith. Now, here's the key. Here's the answer. Here's the big thought of the day. How do we deal with this civil war inside of our mind? The Bible lays it out extremely clear in Romans chapter 12. Everybody open up a Bible. Look on a screen. You might want to write it down. This is a really good, amazing thought. It's in the Bible, so you know it's got to be right. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, a simple glance over this verse, it sounds pretty cool, but when you investigate what the words on the screen and the words in the Bible actually mean, there's so much deeper meaning inside of it. The word transformed means to change into another form. God actually expects for you to be changed from the inside out. The Bible talks about how if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. And it says that we should be changed by the renewing of our mind. Now, this word renewing has a powerful meaning behind it. The original language in the Greek, it means to renovate. Think about this for a second. We need to renovate our mind. Now, I've got a friend named Doug who has built houses. He's done a lot of things in construction, and I've had a little experience in working with renovating projects before. primarily through watching HG television. Me and my wife love HGTV. And it's amazing that when you look at HGTV, you see these beautiful 100-year-old Victorian antebellum, beautiful homes that need total renovation. See, because closets from 1916 don't fit lives in 2016. Not too many people want to live in a floor plan from 1916. It just doesn't work well. So to renovate means that the old layout, the old structure, it doesn't fit the new owner. And when the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you, the Spirit of God wants to renovate you from the inside. He wants to come and he sees things in your life that have been around for a long time that don't fit the Spirit of God and what he wants to do in your life. Somebody say amen to that. See, when you renovate a project or a house, sometimes walls have to be knocked down. And in our lives, we have walls as well. One of the biggest walls we have is pride. We have walls of fear. We have walls of jealousy. And when you get born again and you invite the Holy Spirit to live inside of you, he sees this and he says, this just won't do. And he wants to come in and kick down the walls that are in your life. See, but the problem is, if you watch television, you'll notice. And it's interesting that HGTV is really closely followed by another channel that's not too far away. It's called the DIY channel. Now, how many knows what DIY stands for? You just yell it out. Do it yourself. See, the problem with doing it yourself is you can only do too much or so much by yourself. And if you watch these true reality TV shows about doing it yourself, you spend more time, more money, and end up calling a professional to fix the mess that you thought you could do in the first place. Somebody say amen. Now, this is exactly like real life. A lot of people, let's use marriage for an example. A lot of people say, this is my marriage. I will work out all the problems that I have. I will fix my marriage. And you spend time and heartache and pain and wounding one another, and eventually you got to call in a professional. It's usually when Pastor Lance gets called that all hell is broken loose in the marriage, and now Pastor, fix it. Or you go to a psychologist, or you go to another counselor or something like that to deal with the issue. The problem is, and the benefit is, that there is no coincidence that you are here today. I really believe it's by the authority of God that you were brought here. Maybe you didn't think about coming to church this week and somebody invited you. I believe it's really to hear this. You have had HGTV dreams. You've had big, amazing plans and dreams and goals. But the problem is you have been living in a world that is DIY. You've been trying to do it all by yourself. You've been trying to solve your own problems. You've been trying to drive the wheel of the car of your life all by yourself. And you've hit setback after setback, heartache after heartache. And you can't figure out, why can't I just do it by myself? And here's the reason why. You were designed by God to achieve your maximum level of potential in this life only when you open up your life to God and do life with other people. See, we don't, the wall of pride, it stands strong. But I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit of God, he wants to deal with that today. See, the same model that was used thousands of years ago to address the same civil war is the same model that we adhere to here at Bethel Community Church. You bring your brokenness, you bring your pain, you bring your issues, you bring your hopes, you bring your faith. You join it with the people of God. You meet regularly to talk about how God's word applies to your life, to your marriage, to your kids, to your relationships, how it applies to me as a man, how it applies to you as a woman, your finances. And we do it all here at Bethel with childcare and occasional potlucks. Doesn't that make it fun? And we joke about it, but throughout history, this is how the church has survived, not by doing it yourself. You don't ever see people on HGTV doing it themselves. They have a whole team. They bring a whole squad. They bring as many as they can get because they know there's more collective power, there's more collective strength when we bring everybody together to raise the roof, to do the walls, to plan things out. And this is how your journey continues at Bethel Community Church. It's inside community with people seeking to do the will of God as our minds are steadily being renewed. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for helping us. Thank you, God, for this quick, short word. God, I pray today that we would realize that we don't live in a DIY world. You didn't cause us to do things all by ourselves. You've called us to do it in the context of community. We thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.